We're turning this evening in our Bibles to the Old Testament and to the book of Job, and we're coming to the chapter 38. The book of Job, the chapter 38, and in the chapter we have the Lord addressing his servant Job, instructing him, leaving very important lessons even before him. So Job chapter 38, we are breaking into the chapter at the verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garments thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no farther, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldst know the path to the house thereof. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. I want to draw your attention this evening to that 22nd verse. I don't know about you, but I have been receiving alerts all day on my phone, and has been warning that snow is coming. Maybe not tonight, but warning that it's coming tomorrow or Tuesday. And therefore, our text tonight is very relevant because it tells us in that verse 22, Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? With God's word before us, let's just bow together in a brief word of prayer, asking for the Lord's help with us here this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that we are gathered around thy precious word. We rejoice it is old, and yet we can say it is ever new. We thank thee that its truths are priceless and they are relevant in the day in which we live. And we ask, Lord, that as we come to thy word, that thou wouldst open it up before us. We recognize our weakness. We recognize, Lord, the simplicity of thy word. And we fear at times that instead of setting it forth in its simplicity, we can end up complicating thy so great salvation. But we pray tonight that thou wouldst come and that thou wouldst open every eye. And Lord, that we might see thee and thy salvation. And for those who know thee not, O Lord, we pray tonight that they might not only see, but they might come and taste and know thee as their Lord and as their Savior. So, Lord, we need thy help. Bring to my thoughts what thou would have us to say. Give us, Lord, words from thyself. And we pray not just for here, but wherever the word is preached this evening, Lord, may it bring forth the great harvest. For, Lord, we ask these things in thy name, and we ask them for thy honor and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. the book of Job, and the question is asked in Job chapter 38 and the verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? In the past week, we have been suffering the beast from the east. Heavy snow was reported across large swathes of the United Kingdom. Even 4 vaccination centers were forced to close. Up to 7 inches of snow fell in the north of Scotland. Even in Lurgan, the landscape last weekend was transformed. However, in comparison to other years, we have so far got off lightly. In 1947, snow fell every single day between the 22nd of January and the 17th of March. In 1975, several cricket matches had to be cancelled on the 2nd of June because of snow. When we come into the Word of God, we find the word snow appearing some 24 times. And although we do not tend to associate snow with the land of Israel, the concept of snow was not foreign to them. In fact, in 2013, between 16 and 28 inches of snow fell in the city of Jerusalem. Even in Bible times, the traveler lifting up his eyes, he would have seen in the distance Mount Hermon, its peaks rising up into the heavens. They were perpetually covered with snow. And beholding its glistening crown, the Lord asked Job a simple question. He asked him, had he considered the treasures in the snow? Of course, snow comes down from heaven. The psalmist said, he, that is the Lord, giveth snow like wool. And coming down from heaven, or coming from his hand, and being free without charge, surely it reminds us of the grace of God. You see, like the snow, God's salvation is not only full of treasures, but it is free to the taker. Coming down from heaven, it is without money and without price. Indeed, the psalmist, taking up his pen, he wrote in Psalm 37, verse 39, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. And he reminded them that salvation came from the Lord. Learning this truth the hard way, Jonah sinking down into the depths of the angry waves, he finally lifted his voice and he cried out, salvation is of the Lord. And he reminded his hearers that salvation was not somewhat, but it was solely, solely of the Lord. Salvation springs not up from the heart, but it comes down from heaven. It is the gift of God. Sometimes people reading the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, they look for some dramatic experience in their life where there will be the flashing of lights or some other thing. Sometimes the snow comes in a blizzard. Sometimes it comes with great force. You can hear the winds howling. At other times, the snow comes softly and it comes gently, so that if you are in your house, you would not even be aware that it is falling. It's not until perhaps the next morning you open the curtains and you see the landscape has been completely transformed. And you see, while some people's experience in salvation is earth-shaking, other people's experience is soft-like. But whether it is earth-shaking or whether it is soft-like, it is of God. My salvation, it comes down from heaven. It comes alone from the hand of Almighty God. And I say to you this evening that if you are looking to yourself, or you're looking to some church, or you are looking to some other man, or looking to some other individual, earthly individual, then you are looking in vain. Christ alone is able to save. Christ alone is able to take you and save your soul. My salvation, it comes down. Just as the snow, salvation comes down. It comes down from God alone. And so I want this evening, just for a short time, to consider the snow here as a type or a picture of God's grace. I want you to notice, firstly, the snow purifies, drawing their eyes back to the pictures of nature. And he said in verse 32, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" Snow, of course, is a precious commodity. About 20% of the world's land mass is permanently covered by it. Fresh snow falls in one of every 4 square miles of dry land every year. And falling, it completely transforms the landscape. It covers all the dirt, the rubbish, and even man-made scars so that everything looks pure and looks white. Even the most hideous landscape, by the snow falling upon it, it becomes bright and attractive. And the snow coming down from heaven, it cleanses and then it covers. And God's grace, like the snow, is not only precious, but it is purifying. It cleanses our sin and then it covers our souls. Indeed, taking up the image of snow. The prophet said, or the Lord said in Isaiah 1 verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Scarlet is not only glaring, standing out, but scientists tell us that once it has been absorbed into the fabric of a piece of material, there is no scientific method of completely eradicating it. In other words, describing their sin here as scarlet, he was telling them that there was nothing that they could do or nothing that man could do to cleanse their sin away. However, then, turning their eyes upward, the Lord told them that he was able to wash their sin, and he was able to wash it as white as the snow. You see, while no one is good enough to save himself, no one is so bad that God cannot save them. He is able to cleanse you from every sin, no matter how great, how glaring, or how entrenched that sin is in your life. Irving Berlin was a Russian-born immigrant in the United States of America. Taking up his pen, he wrote many songs, but perhaps one of the most famous songs that he ever wrote was the song, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." Bing Crosby recording it. It has, over the decades, sold over 50 million copies. However, while you may be dreaming of a white Christmas, you don't need to dream of a white soul. Why a white soul? The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you, from every sin and every defilement. Just as the snow coming down last Sunday evening, it covered the whole landscape. It covered all the dirt. It covered all the blotches. So God's salvation is able to cover your sin. It's able to carry it away as far as the east is from the west. You see, tonight there is no sin so glaring, no sin so deeply entrenched that Christ cannot cleanse. He's able to cleanse you. And not only will he cleanse you, but just as the snow covers the ground, he will cover you with his perfect righteousness. Oh, tonight there's cleansing, if only you come to Christ. The snow not only does it purify, but the snow protects. Probing Job's soul, the Lord asked in verse 32, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" Snow is perhaps one of the strangest of all commodities. Although cold to the touch, yet falling upon the ground, it does not lower the ground's temperature. Being an insulator, it acts as a blanket, conserving the ground's latent heat. It shields it from the rigors of the frost. For example, wheat covered by snow can survive severer temperatures than that which is not covered. Indeed, the psalmist, taking up his pen, he likened it in Psalm 147 to wool. It serves the soul, serves the soil as a blanket serves the human body. As the wool warms and shields the sheep, so the snow covering the ground, it shields it from the rigors, from the coldness, from the severity of the frost. And the snow of God's grace covering the soul, it not only purifies it, but it protects it. It shields it from the storms, the cold storms of divine wrath. Indeed, in the New Testament, the Pharisees attacking the man whom the Lord had raised at the pool of Bethesda, the Lord then turned the tables on them. He said in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." He reminded them that while they might condemn this man, yet this man, believing, he would not never be eternally condemned. In other words, trusting in Christ, for him there would be no more condemnation. You see, in Christ, there is no more condemnation. The chilly hand of judgment can no longer touch the individual. Grasping that great truth, Augustus Toplady, taking up the pen, wrote, "The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. And because my sin is gone, because my sin has been covered, there is no more judgment." We live today in times of great uncertainty. I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I know this, that because I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that there is no more condemnation. And you see, my friend, if only you come to the cross, if only you come to Christ, there will be no more condemnation and there will be no more separation. He will insulate, as it were, your soul from the wrath that is to come. Oh, this evening, have you been to the cross? Have you been covered in the righteousness of Christ? If you only come this evening, then there will be no more wrath. There will be no more judgment for your soul. Not only does the snow purify and protect, but the snow prospers. Unlocking his treasure, Solomon taking up his pen, he said in Proverbs 25, verse 13, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters." In these words, he was indicating that the snow falling upon the ground, it refreshes it. In fact, scientists tell us that as well as destroying harmful germs, the snow forming in the atmosphere, it gathers nitrogen. Then falling upon the ground, the nitrogen soaking into it, it enlivens every particle, causing the seedling to burst forth its shoots, tunneling upwards. They eventually bring forth an abundant harvest. You see, the snow, rather than destroying, it enlivens and it enriches all that it touches. My, even in the farming community, if there's been snow, my, they look forward often to a better harvest. And the grace of God is not only negative, but positive. entering into the soul, it not only slays those old sinful desires, but feeding those new desires, it enables it to bring forth much fruit. Indeed, in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we find a woman who was a sinner drinking of the water of life and transforming her soul. We read in John 4:28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the man. Drinking of the water of life, she left her water pot. Why? Because she no longer desired the things that earth could produce. Instead, we find her going into Samaria, going into its streets, and there bearing testimony and telling of what Christ had done in her life. Many others were converted. My trusting Christ, she became fruitful. And as the snow, God's grace makes an impact upon the life. It turns our lives from being destructive to being productive. You know, in the summer of 1812, Napoleon, with an army of 610,000 men, he marched into Russia. Before the might of his army, the Russian armies were forced to retreat. However, the snow then began to fall, and it became heavier and heavier. Eventually, it slew over 500,000 of his men. The Tsar of Russia, finally triumphing, he said that his best generals were General January and General February. The snow coming, it defeated his enemies, driving them back. Almost 130 years later, Hitler marching triumphantly across Europe, he seemed to be invincible. Even President Kennedy's father, Joe Kennedy, who was the American ambassador in London at the time, urged America not to enter into the war. He felt that Hitler could never be defeated. Then, like Napoleon, Hitler turned towards Russia. The snowflakes, although 24 times lighter than a drop of water, began to fall. And millions of snowflakes falling. Hitler's army was stopped in its tracks, and it was forced to turn back. He was defeated not by bombs, not by guns, but he was defeated by the snow. And perhaps you're listening in this evening and you're living in slavery. You're living bound by some sin. It dominates your life. It controls the way you think. It controls your every activity. You say, "Preacher, what can the grace of God do for me?" Like the snow, God's grace may seem to you to be weak, but covering your soul, it will enable you to defeat every enemy and to know victory in your life. Maybe tonight you're bound by some sin. I want to tell you, my friend, the grace of God is able to transform you and is able to give you the victory. It's able to give you the victory. But not only that, I want you also to notice this evening that the snow paralyzes. Setting before him the snowflake, the Lord said in verse 32, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" The snow, of course, is not only productive, but we know from our own experience that it is often destructive. In the big freeze of 1962, 1963, blizzards sweeping across England and Wales, there were drifts 20 feet high. Roads and railway lines were closed and power lines were brought down and many individuals lost their lives. In the blizzards of 1888, snow paralyzed the northeast of America. Drifts were reported to be higher than single-story buildings. More than 400 individuals lost their lives in the storm. As recently as 1967, snow falling in the southeastern states of America, it claimed over 100 lives. And you see, while the snow falling looks attractive to the eye, it is another side to its character. And that is, it is deadly. And like the snow, the grace of God is not only a savor of life unto life, but it is also a savor of death unto death. Where it is rejected, it ultimately ruins. Indeed, illustrating this great truth, may we read in John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him." And he reminded them that where there was a believing or a receiving of the gospel, there would be life. But where there was a rejecting of it, there would be death. Not only spiritual death, but eternal death. You see, the grace of God, when it is accepted, it is productive. But when it is rejected, it is destructive. It freezes the heart. And then it slays the soul. The Jews in ancient times, writing about the law of God, they said, "As the bee reserves her honey for her owner and her sting for others, so the word of the Torah are an elixir of life for Israel and a deadly poison to the nations of the earth." And what they thought to be true about the law of God is certainly true about the gospel. It is to those who accept it life, but it is to those who reject it, my deadly. It brings eternal death. You go out in the morning and the sun rises and is shining in its strength. You see the little bit of wax sitting on the windowsill and it begins to melt. The same sun shining down upon your garden, it dries and it hardens the soil. And so it is with the gospel. The gospel will either soften your heart, bringing you to the cross, or it will harden your heart. You say, "Preacher, you're mistaken." Don't flatter yourself. Your preaching tonight has no effect upon my life. It has no effect upon the way I am living. My friend, you are mistaken. Go on rejecting it, and the day will come when you'll not be able to believe. Oh, this evening, the gospel is a savor of life, if accepted. But if rejected, it'll bring death. It'll bring death. Oh, this evening, what will it do in regard to you? Are you accepting it or rejecting it? The snow not only paralyzes, but lastly, I want you to notice that the snow passes. Drawing his eye to nature, he said in that verse 32, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" In the blizzards of 1962, the snow falling, it remained in many places for over 2 months. However, according to the Met Office, there is snow on the ground in the United Kingdom on average only for 15.6 days a year. Generally speaking, the snow not only falls infrequently, but falling generally it lasts only for a few days or sometimes just for a few hours, and then it is gone. Soaking into the ground, not a trace of it is left. And if that is true in our climate, it was much more true in the climate of the Middle East. In fact, as I was leaving the service last Sunday night, the whole ground was white. There was snow everywhere. But it's not there tonight. It is gone. And like the snow, the grace of God is offered only for a season. And if not accepted, then it will melt away. Indeed, Solomon, that man of great wisdom, taking up his pen, he said, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." You notice here the patience of God. He had reproved them often. However, they continually hardening their heart, the Lord ceasing to plead with them, they were then destroyed. And that suddenly. You think of old Pharaoh hardening his neck, not only the pleas of Moses, but to the warnings of the plagues and the death of his own son. He finally entering into the waters of the Red Sea. In an instant of time, he was swamped away. And you see, the Spirit of God rests on men's hearts only for a season. And where there is no response, he eventually retreats. Beethoven first noticed difficulties with his hearing when he was about 28 years of age. By the time he was 44 or 45, he was totally deaf. Unable to hear the notes on his piano, he clenched a stick in his teeth, and holding it against the piano, he was able to detect the sounds and thus go on to compose great pieces of music. And as the Spirit of God is speaking to you, listen intently. My friend, listen intently. Not only listen intently, but react. Embrace Christ, because if you do not, the time will come when he will speak no more. You see, if you keep on rejecting God's grace, there will come a time when God will say, enough, enough sermons, enough preachers, enough opportunities. And he will cease to plead with your soul. Look across the world and the snow falling and covering the ground. It in some places stays longer than it does in other places. As we said, in our country, we an average of only snow for 15.6 days a year. And that's including snow falling upon the highest peaks in the land. And you see, while God may deal with some a long time, he deals with others for a much shorter period of time. And I urge you this evening, as the Lord is pleading with you, as the Lord is speaking to your heart, don't turn away. What a tragedy it would be if this was the last night that he was to plead with your soul. Oh, this evening, come and trust the Savior. You know, last Sunday evening, as we said, the snow began to fall. It's amazing the different reactions there was to the snow. I must confess, leaving the church, going out into the car park, seeing the snow, feeling the frost crunching beneath my feet and feeling the chill, all I wanted to do was get into the car, get home, and lock the door. But you know, while I may have grumbled because of the snow, many others went out into the snow. Children, my, were playing in the snow. They were sliding in the snow, building the snowman. And you know, as you see the snow of God's grace tonight, what will your reaction be? Will you harden your heart? Or, my friend, will you trust him? Will you pray tonight, oh, that the grace of God may come and that may cleanse and cover my heart just as the snow falling upon the landscape? And if only you do, he'll not turn you away. But my friend, he'll save you, and he'll keep you, and he'll make you productive and useful even in his service. May you know that covering that is perfect, the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for even the word pictures in Scripture. We pray, Lord, that this evening, that men and women, young people, as they listen, that they might see their hearts as they really are, that they might see the scars of sin, how their hearts have been tarnished, And Lord, seeing that they might look away from themselves and look unto thee this evening and seek that perfect cleansing and covering that comes alone even from thee. We pray, Lord, be with us now in the closing moments of this service, for we pray in thy name. And Lord, we pray for thy glory. Amen. Amen.